that would, or given, you know, that would be part of it. But I wrote down the greatest key to increase is faithful with little. And the key is faithful. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Luke 16. Now, how many knows Jesus told parables a lot? And the parables that he would tell would be a parable so you could see a parallel into the kingdom and in the natural realm, right? Verse 1, it says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." So we know today that rich man would be God, right? We would be the stewards. He's entrusted things to us. It says, verse 2, "And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Now I looked up the word steward, and it says administration of a household or estate, economy, a house distributor. We would call that person like a manager. Because how many knows, a manager, what you do, you're not the owner of it, but you oversee all of it. You get, excuse me, you get your authority from the owner, right? And then you have those that are under you that carry out the owner's will. So that's what we are. We're managers. Verse 3, it says, "Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship." He says, "I cannot dig." Meaning, kind of like saying, I can't work, you know. He says, "I cannot dig." He says, "To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Now he just told him that he owed more than 50, right? So this would be kind of like we would call today cooking the books, right? Or fixing the books, you know, all the books that you keep or the checkbook or whatever that it is. So he tells him here, okay, you write less. Verse 7 says, "Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now, he's not commending him because he's done the wrong thing. Y'all get that, right? Some people think that the master's commending him because he's did the wrong thing. No, how many knows it says in, let's see, you can put it up for us, James 3:15, Zach. We won't turn over there since we're just going to read that one scripture. It says this wisdom is talking about, it says, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. How many knows there is an earthly wisdom that people have? But then there is also the wisdom of God. And that's what he's doing here. He's using earthly, devilish wisdom. Now, what verse did we get to? 9? No, we done read 7. Yeah, 8, he commended him. Verse 9, he says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations." Now, this is my key verse. He says, 10 here, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." I believe the Amplified Bible says, when you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. Most people don't believe that. They don't think that. But how many knows God's word is true? And he knows all, right? It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust," or we could say unfaithful, "in the least is unjust or unfaithful also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." But go back up there to verse 10. Let's see. It says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and just unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own, that is, the true riches? Now, I've wrote some things down here. I read you that one. He commended him because he was like a shrewd, you know, in his business dealings. Well, then he goes on. Why is he doing this? When you look at this story, he's doing this. He's thinking about himself. Number one, we're not supposed to think about self, right? But this guy's unjust and he's unrighteous. He's an unfaithful. He lies. He cheats. He steals, right? We just read that. He went to him and told him, asked him, how much do you owe? And then he tells him, okay, write this amount. So he's having them, he's lying, and he's having them lie. So he's just doing the same thing that he's been doing the whole time, because now his master's found him unfaithful. He's heard bad things about him, bad reports about him, and now he said, give an account. Do you understand this give an account is kingdom language? You'll find that over and over and over in the scriptures. Now, this guy, what he done from reading the story here is he's making friends with these people. In other words, I'm going to scratch your back now. You owed 100. I'm going to knock 50 off. So now you got 50 to keep. Well, he's doing this so that whenever his stewardship is taken away, they'll receive him. They'll help him. They'll give to him. They'll help take care of him, because he says, I can't dig, or in other words, I can't work. He said, I'm too embarrassed or too ashamed to beg, so I know what I'll do. So he gets praised because he works shrewdly like this. Now, we're not supposed to be liars. We're not supposed to be cheaters or anything like that. But the scripture there, he said, use unrighteous mammon to make friends with people. The Bible says we are to be generous, very generous. We have a restaurant usually whenever we go out to eat. Usually that's the one we go to. Sometimes we go to it about every week, and then sometimes we may skip a few months or whatever. But the ones that is usually there whenever we go, they meet us at the door. Would you like to come and sit at my table? Why do you think that is? Because Scotty's so cute? No. Now, this one, we did go up there, what was it, Friday? And, of course, his brother, just younger than him, comes up there too, and he's sitting over here. And Scotty was going to pay for theirs, and what they done, they ordered and paid for theirs right then, because they knew what was going to happen. Because every time we see them there, Scotty always pays for theirs, you know, and don't tell them nothing about it, tells their waitress or whatever. So the waitress was this, our waitress too, and she's coming past, and Scotty said, hey, I want to pay for theirs. And she said, well, they just gave me the money for it. Now, what weirdo orders and pays at the same time? They did that so he couldn't pay. And I told Scotty, I said, why would you do that? Why don't you just pay for ours? You know, if you go do that. But anyway, what I was going to say was, she asked him, said, are y'all big friends or something other? Y'all know each other, whatever? And Scotty said, no, that's my brother. I said, yeah, that's, she said, your older brother? Scotty's about a year and a half, somewhere around in that, older than the one that was sitting there. And he said, no. He said, that's my younger brother. And she said, your younger brother? I said, he looks older than you. You look like the younger brother. And I'm thinking, and Scotty's teeth, where he had them fixed, he's smiling so big you can see where they wasn't fixed at. You know, y'all know his teeth he's got now. He's smiling so big you can see the ones that wasn't fixed. And I'm like, lady, just go home. But why am I saying this? Because they'll meet us at the door. Certain ones, if they see us, that has waited on us quite often, you know, before that we've been there. They'll meet us at the door. Would you like to sit at my table? And everybody else is standing over here waiting to, they're going to ask them how many's in your party, you know, or you got a 15-minute wait, or you got this or whatever. But they're wanting to know, do we want to sit at their table? What are we getting? Favor. Why? Because we've been generous. Very rarely. Now, we never go anywhere that we don't leave a tip most of the time, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, to me, it's a generous tip. I mean, if I was our waitress, I would like it. I mean, usually we don't leave a big mess or, you know, have hard orders or anything. And even if you mess up, we still leave them a tip. Even if you're ugly sometimes, you know, we'll still leave a tip or whatever. But that's what this guy is doing here. Do you see what I'm saying? But now he's going the wrong way about it. Now, we're not supposed to try to buy people, right? We're not supposed to do this like the world says, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We don't do that. But out of our heart, because we're like God, we're just generous with people. Well, the thing that does for you later on is just like what's happening to this guy here. You receive favor from people because you have been generous to other people. Now, Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, Zach. We won't turn over there, but we'll read it here. No, let me turn over there. I think I do want to read this in Amplified too, so let me turn over there. Proverbs 11, verse 24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increases. Now, the world's way of thinking is, if you're going to increase, you cannot scatter, right? The world has a saying, most people in the world, you know, get all you can all you can get. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, or in other words, what is right, but it tendeth to poverty. It says, the liberal, or this word liberal means generous soul, shall be made what? Might be one reason I'm so fat. Oh, my goodness. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, the Amplified says this. There are those who generously scatter abroad. That's us, right? And yet increases more. It says, there are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due. In other words, you don't even give people what they deserve or you owe them. But it results only in want, or we could say lack. The liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. I learned this a long time ago, and I learned it actually from watching Scotty do it. Don't get the big head, but anyway. A lot of times when you, say you wake up, you ever just wake up and you have days you just get up and you're like, this don't feel good. I mean, your nose ain't running, you're not coughing or nothing, you really just don't feel good. And usually on those days when I'm like that, I'm like, I don't want to see nobody today. I don't want to talk to nobody today. I just don't feel like it, which I don't feel like it normally anyway most of the time, but this is a little extra I don't feel like it or whatever. But something that I learned, he says there, he that waters shall be watered. When you're like that or you're having a bad day or something other and things just ain't good, find you somebody to minister to. Why? Because this scripture is absolutely true. See, I can't turn on the water hose and let water come out without the water hose getting wet. If I turn the water on the water hose, it's going to get wet. Why? Because the water's going to flow through it, and as it flows through it, it gets the water hose wet. That's what he's saying here. He that waters shall be watered. So when you feel that way or whatever and you minister to people and God is flowing through you to minister to somebody, it ministers to you too. And not just in that way. I mean, it can be in finances or any other kind of way. Ministering the word of God to somebody. Now let's look at, I wrote this down. Well, let's go back to Luke 16. Trying to get a little ahead of myself here, and I need to stay on track. Verse 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. That's why my little subtitle is faithful with little. It's the key to increase. And he's not just talking about money. It don't matter what it is. It can be money. It can be other things. It says, and he that is unjust in least, or we would say little, is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, how many knows that this, I wrote this down. I'm just going to read it to you the way I wrote it. Now, this life is training grounds for later. in heaven will there be rewards and placement and authority given. Faithfulness is of the heart. You can't be faithful without faith. It is the root word of faithful or faithfulness. Now, we know faith to be a fruit of the Spirit, right? So it's not of the head. It has to be of the heart. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit within produces that fruit as we fellowship with Him, you know, and obey God and all that stuff. But I have noticed, because it takes faith, now we're talking not natural. Just like when we talk about the love of God, we're not talking about a natural love. Natural love runs out, right? You can do so much so it just quits. But you can't do too much to the supernatural love of God. Now I'm talking about supernatural faithfulness. And what I have noticed about people over the years, so for an example, I know who gives into this ministry because I'm the one that has to write it all down. Scotty don't do that. He don't want to do that. He don't care. He don't want to know nothing about it or anything like that. So that leaves me that I have to take care of that. So I know who, now I may not know whether it's your full tithe or whatever, but I know whenever you give, if you write your name on the envelope, because I have to write it down. Now, I have seen over the years people that have been faithful that every week or whatever they get paid, every 2 weeks or something like that, their envelope is in there with their name on it with a certain amount of money, and I write that down. So because I have to, then I know things. One of the first things that I notice, I may not notice anything outwardly is really happening to them or going on the inside of them. But one of the first things a lot of times that I begin to notice is there's not as many envelopes. Y'all not saying that. Why is that? Because it takes the faith of God to produce the faithfulness of God. Do you understand one reason why we trust God is because He is faithful? He's never been unfaithful. The Bible says even if we don't believe, He's still faithful to His word. Well, when people are faithful, you can trust them. They're trustworthy. We can trust God because He's never failed. He's never lied. He's never been unfaithful. Do you realize that's the same way we're supposed to be as His children, as His offspring? The Bible says, as He is, so are we now in this world, right? We're supposed to be just like Him. So therefore, as children of God, we're supposed to be faithful like God. But what I have noticed, when faith starts waning in the heart, or you don't have faith there like what you did at one time, it starts causing you to become unfaithful in the things that you used to be faithful to do. Did that make sense? Sometimes it's a little harder. I'm not sure if I'm getting through explaining. And I'll see that happen. And whenever I begin to see that happen, because I have seen it over the years with lots of people, I begin to pray for them because I know something's going on the inside. I don't see nothing outwardly yet, maybe, but I can see it. Why? Because you used to be faithful in what you believed that you were supposed to do, God wanted you to do, and that God would bless and all that. Now you're becoming unfaithful. The next thing that I see happen a lot of times, you take somebody. Now you have some. I mean, you see people at Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, you know, and then they're upset because you didn't pray for them when something happened to them. I'm like, I forgot you even existed. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, God didn't put you on my mind. I don't think about you. You got people that they go to church then. Then you got other people, they come more often. Then you've got people that they are faithful. Every time the doors are open, just about, unless there's some kind of big major thing going on in their life, they are there. Well, one of the other things that I begin to notice is people that have been faithful to go to church. I'm not talking about just here, everywhere. You know, other places. They're faithful. They're there every time the doors are open, you know. You can tell they're engaged. They're listening. A little bit at a time, I begin to notice they're not coming to church as much as what they used to. Why is that? Because faith in the heart will produce faithful obedience to what they believe. But any time that faith begins to wane or begins to get small or not be in the heart or whatever, it causes you to become unfaithful in the things that you used to be faithful in, whether it's your tithing or whether it's coming to church. But those are the two things that I have noticed that will begin to happen to people. And if they don't get that corrected before long, you don't see them anymore. And then you are in major trouble. Now, let's look at Luke 18. heard people say, well, I'm still reading my Bible. How many knows there's way more to a relationship with God than just reading your chapter every day? Way, way more. Verse 1, it says, and he spake, talking about Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and what? Not faint. He says, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, in other words, he don't care about any of it, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, or you could say faithfully coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now notice this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? It's not common. God, if you'd have heard the pin drop. See, we would like to believe that it is. Because now if you got born again, you had faith to get born again. But that don't mean you got faith at all anywhere else in any other area past being born again. You understand that? I can have a lot of faith concerning finances and have little to none concerning healing. That's just the way that is. If you want great faith in a certain area, then you need to hear the word on that certain in that certain area or whatever. But notice what he says here. He says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he really find faith on the earth? So that tells me that when he comes, that's what he's going to be looking for. And everybody don't have it. I know the Bible says in a verse that God has given unto every man the measure of faith. Yes, he did, or you couldn't have got born again. Faith accesses grace. You heard the word. You believe the word. It causes obedience. Wherefore, you acted on the word. And that's it. Y'all understand that? So when he comes, he's looking, this tells me, for faith in the earth. And everybody don't have it. This tells me right here that it's rare. The Bible says in the other study that we done that God sees faith as precious. Like fine, purified gold to God. Because everybody doesn't have it. All Christians would like to think they have it. They like to think that... You know, they operate in it and all that. But see, and people say, well, God knows my heart. Like, that's a good thing. We know it too. To a certain degree, we can see it. Just like the stories that I told you a while ago. You see the faithfulness in people and the concern of their finances. It's because they have the faith of God in there, and it's causing obedience. It's causing faithfulness. But whenever it begins to lack, you begin to see the unfaithfulness and the disobedience. That's in every area of our lives. I mean, we backslid one time. Now, before we got saved, I guess I could say probably honestly, Scotty was the most unfaithful, unreliable, unpredictable person I had ever met in my life. Now, I had my faults too, you know. I mean, I wasn't just 100% of it. But, I mean, we started serving the Lord. The man before we got saved, he might come home, he might not come home. He might come in a green car, he might come in a blue car. He might come in walking. I mean, you just never know. That's just the... unpredictable in every area of his life. He might go to work, he might not go to work. He might quit his job, he might stay a week or two. Just almost every area. Well, we get born again, and one of the things that begins to happen to him, you can see it, is he begins to become faithful. And when he begins to become faithful, I mean, he's faithful to go to church. You know, and some people think it's just showing up. Do you realize it's not just showing up? A dog can show up on the porch every service. One of the things that began to happen to him, I mean, a lot of y'all have heard the stories or whatever. I mean, sometimes he had to drive a box truck or whatever when they would unload doors or windows or whatever, you know. And you're supposed to try to, you know, scatter those around. Well, he just banged them and bummed them and all that stuff and throwed them in there just to get them off the truck and all that before he got saved. Well, one of the things that began to happen to him after he got saved is he wanted to do a good job. He wanted to be faithful. So he went to work every day. And whenever he would have to take those windows and those doors, if those windows was going to be upstairs, he would tote those windows upstairs. If those doors was going to be down the hall, he would put the doors down the hall. He didn't throw them around. He tried not to bust the corners anymore. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, fast forward a few years, I don't know how many years or whatever. He comes home every night. I mean, he's predictable, you know, and all this stuff. We backslide, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months, something like that. Life got real hard and we got back real quick. But anyway, one of the first things that started happening to him after just a little while, maybe a few weeks of not serving God, not going to church, you know, and I'm still saving our tithe. I'm putting one it up and I'm putting it in my billfold in a certain spot. Lo and behold, one night work is over, supper's over, and he's not there, Johnny. Now, he's been saved. He's been coming home all this time. I call him and call him and call him and call him. Then they had just come out with cell phones, and there was a bag phone in your vehicle is what that was. You know, no answer, no answer. Well, lo and behold, you know, a little time goes by, and now it makes me mad, and I don't know where he's at or what he's doing, so I pack his bags, and I put him out there on the steps. I thought, I am not going through this stuff again. Well, lo and behold, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, here he comes home. And I'm like, where have you been? Well, he's been at a bar all night shooting pool. What is happening? Why is he going from one extreme back to now he's at the bar all night drinking and playing pool? Something happened in here. Do you understand? Faith will cause you, it's of the heart, and it will cause you to obey God. It will cause you to want to do the things he wants you to do. It'll cause you to, people can see it in your life, faithfulness in every area of your life. Now, it may start out small and in one area and, you know, go to another one or whatever. But when he got to where he didn't have faith in his heart anymore, then he began to be unfaithful in every other area. The Bible says that a pig returns to its wallowing and a dog returns to its own vomit. You don't serve the Lord, a lot of times that's what you do. You go right back to the same person that you used to be, even though now you're born again. But if there's no faith there, there's nothing in there that's going to cause you to obey God. But when that faith is in there, and especially in abundance, everybody can see your faithfulness. Now, he says here when he comes, that's what he's going to be looking for. Put up Proverbs 20, verse 6, Zach. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Well, notice that. But a faithful man, they're just everywhere. It says, who can find him? But a faithful man, who can find? This is another one that tells me faith and faithfulness is not everywhere. See, some people like to think that they're faithful because they showed up. Sometimes when you show up, you cause me problems when you're unfaithful. Just because you're here doesn't mean that you're faithful. Do you understand that? Now, he says here, who can find a faithful man? God's looking for one. Now, there are some. I believe that we are here this morning, you know, faithful people or whatever. But I wrote some things down. God has big plans for us to rule and reign with him, but we must qualify. See, the Bible talks about, in Jesus, in a lot of parables that he talked about and talking about, saying, this is how the kingdom is. This is how the kingdom operates and these different things. And then he would give these parables and everything. But right now is training ground for later. I don't know. Some people have this idea, and I don't really know where they get it. Kind of like when we die or pass on or whatever you want to call it. In other words, we leave this life and we go to the afterlife. You know, we go to heaven because we've been born again. We're not going to sit on a cloud playing the harp. We're not going to just be running around like a chicken with our head cut off, just doing whatever we want to do and, you know, fishing in our pond all day if our mansion has one or thing. No, we're going to work. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have, God's going to give us placement. The Bible, one parable Jesus told him, we probably won't get to it today. We may have to do it later. But anyway, that he told? He said, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. You think he's talking about Blountsville and Arab? And no, he's not, even though he can do that here. But he's talking about later on in the afterlife. The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new city. It's called New Jerusalem. And it's going to come and it's going to sit down here. And there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people that have been born again that we have work to do. And some of us, if we make it there, we'll have to go to faith school because we didn't learn it here. And because we didn't learn it here, we're not going to have a placement there. We're not going to have authority there over nobody. We're not going to be over 10 cities. Just like it is here, it's the same way that it's going to be there when we get there. And if we've not done what we needed to do here and not qualified and not been faithful, because that is the qualifier. He says, if you've not been faithful in the little, then you won't be faithful in the lot. So if you, it's kind of like this. If Aubrey and Aiden don't do what I tell them to do with something, you think I'm really going to give them more to do? No. Now we're going to go back and we're going to work on this. Do you do it the way I told you to do it? Do you think God is any different? No. I mean, over and over, will he really find faith on the earth when he comes? A faithful man, who can find? God is looking, but it is so rare and it is so precious, but we all like to pride ourselves on thinking we have it. But it's just not so. And how many knows, I won't even try to change or go after something if I think I already got it. I see no need to. But I wrote this down. God's looking for his children that he can trust and those that trust him. I can trust God because he's faithful. He's never lied. He's faithful to do what he says. He expects me to be faithful. And if somebody is faithful, you can trust them. See, it's kind of like this. I love everybody. I don't care what y'all think. I love everybody. I don't trust everybody. Say some salesman comes to my house, you know, and he starts telling me he's this big Christian or preacher or whatever he is, and he's trying to sell. That is a no-no right off the bat with me. What you got to tell me all that for? You're trying to convince me of something, evidently. And if your fruit was really there, you wouldn't have to say all that. I would just see it. I would just know in here there's something different about you. You know what I'm saying? And you're saying, trust me. I can't tell you how many churches, whole churches, that they have trusted people, building projects, different things like that, ran off with their money because they said, trust me. See, God says I have to love everybody. He does not tell me to trust everybody, and he does not even tell me to trust everybody that tells me they're a Christian. Now, to a certain degree, like if you're here or whatever, or I know you or something like that, and you're a Christian, I will give you a certain level of trust to begin with. But when you break it, it's not there. Now I got to see some changing and some faithfulness before I can trust you again. Do you understand that? We're not supposed to be gullible. The Bible says that we are supposed to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Right? Well, wisdom tells me don't trust everybody just because they say you can trust me. Usually right off the bat, that's I can't trust you. You know? But anyway, faithfulness is a qualifier, and God's looking for people that he can trust and people that trust him. There in Luke 10, it says the faithful qualify. I wrote this down. About to get real good. God gives us a little to see what we do with it. If we're smart, we'll do the same thing. I wrote this down. Can you sweep like you're told to sweep? We're not saying nothing. Somebody should say, amen, I can. See, that's like Damien. A lot of times he'll sweep the porch off. You know, he's a door greeter and he does a good job at it and all that. And it doesn't actually, it's not his personality to be a door greeter, if y'all haven't noticed. So anyway, God's working on him. God's helping him. But anyway, I told him one day, I said, sweep the porch out there with the yellow broom. We got two different color brooms. There's a red one in there, and there's a yellow one. Well, the red one is soft bristles, not as thick, heavy, or whatever. The yellow broom's about this wide, got shorter, real thick bristles, very good for sweeping off the porch. And how many knows, as you sweep the porch, the concrete is eating them bristles up. Then we have another one that it works better in there on the bathrooms. It's soft, you know, you're sweeping smooth surface and all that. Well, if I told Damien, just for an example, I haven't or whatever, if I tell him, okay, Damien, I need you to sweep off the porch, and I need you to use the yellow broom, please, and make sure you get all the leaves off or whatever. Now, little, right? Now, we're talking about kingdom. Sweeping this porch is kingdom. This ain't my porch, it's God's porch, or to a certain degree. Y'all know what I'm saying. Now, we are the body, but God has chosen here for us, the body of Christ, to meet together. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Now, if I tell him all that, and I open that door, and I look at him, I'm just checking on him because he's never swept the porch before. So I'm just checking to see if he's doing what I told him. If I open that door, and he's sweeping with a red broom, and he's sweeping all the leaves up on a pile over here on the porch, we got a problem. Why do we have a problem? Well, he thought the red broom would work better, and red's his favorite color, and he thought that the pretty leaves, all different colors that they are, we could just put over here in one spot and look at them. Y'all don't get where I'm going with this. See, when we first started these two lanes around the church building, starts two lanes right down here and then two lanes up there, one lane on this side. When guys first started to start that, I would have to go down here and stand on this corner. Now, you wouldn't think so. We have cones and looks. You can see two lanes up there. There should be two lanes. Everybody can't drive that has a license. I'm sorry. How do I know that? I have experienced it. I had to start going down here when we switched that. It used to be one lane. We switched it to two lanes, moved the line faster, God said, and all that. I had to start going down here and standing on this cement right here and tell people, outside lane, inside lane. What they would do, because they wanted to be in the lane closest to the building here, they would have two or three cars on the outside lane, inside lane be full up and be pulled slap up on somebody's bumper and be sitting right here, and we're waiting on the second lane of cars to get up there to put their food in. Problem. Now that seems like a very small thing. So I'm having to stand down there, and I would say, outside lane, inside lane. You know, I would look, depending on the cars, and like if they was elderly, I would try to put them in the inside lane, unless it was going to be like the fifth car from the door, because at that time, they was coming in. And so a lot of the elderly would ask, you know, get as close as you can or whatever. Well, this one lady, I told her I said, go in the outside lane. She said, no, I need in the inside lane. I need the one closest to the door. I said, ma'am, I'm just trying to help you get through the line. Go in the outside. No, I won't in that. I said, fine. You know what she was? The fifth car, fifth van, right around here. She would have been the third vehicle on the outside lane, which would have been two steps further from that porch. But hey, Burger King, have it the way you want it. I tried to help you, but anyway, my point to all that is that seems like a little thing when I'm standing down there and you have those that they can drive and they can distinguish it's supposed to be two lanes and they just pull up like they're supposed to. But I'm down there because everybody can't or won't. Now, it seems like a little thing. It don't matter how little it seems. This is all kingdom business. Take somebody else, you put them down there, they won't do that. You go down there to check on them. Are you doing like I told you? Is everything going okay? You need help? You got any problems? And you find them off down there in the giveaway building or over here kicking the rocks or something. We have a problem. Well, I just don't see why we need this. This is, I could do more than that, you know. I do have a brain. I could do a lot more than that. I don't need you to do any more. Shut up and get over there where I told you. Why? Because you don't see what I see. This is causing a major problem, and I need you to do this. So do you really think I need you to run the sound booth? Or do you really think I need you to teach the kids? If you can't stand down here on the corner, even though you may not even have to tell anybody that whole time, but if there's one you need to tell, I need you down there. Y'all get what I'm talking about? On the sound booth. Zach does good. Beth, there's people that God has created them to be leaders, and there's people that God has created to be followers. Everybody can't be and is not supposed to be a leader. Everybody can't be and is not supposed to be a follower. But you have both. You get too many chiefs and not enough Indians, you got problems. Now, Beth, she's laughing already. She knows what I'm going to say. Beth is not a leader. That's not a bad thing. Beth was not created a leader. Nobody will follow Beth anywhere except Aiden, and that's because it's mama. That's best thing. God didn't create Beth to be a leader. But I can tell you right now, you will never find a better follower than Beth. I have never seen a better one, ever. So whatever Scotty tells her to do, she does. Now, she's been on the praise team before and sung up here and tried to do the kids. The kids don't listen to her. Scotty put her on the sound booth. Whatever he tells her to do, she does it. She does it with a good attitude. If she don't like it, he never knows it. And she does to the T whatever he tells her. That's a good follower. But now, some people, you can't put them back there. You can't really put them to doing nothing. Why? They got too many ideas and they're too great of minds to just do what I say. Or what you say, whoever. Not just me or whatever. Put somebody else back there or another job or something other. I think this red button looks good. I think it would be better if we turned this one up. And then all of y'all are like, ah, listen, do you understand? I've had people tell me it was so loud out here they couldn't even hardly think. Had one man, he said, I can't come to church here. He said, y'all's music is just too loud. Then there's been other times that people are like, I can't hardly hear it out there. You know? Well, they have back there on that sound booth a mark where most all microphones or instruments, things like that, stay. But now their job is, I mean, certain songs will be a little louder just because of the beat or whatever. And you may have to turn somebody down a little bit from that mark or turn somebody up a little bit from that mark. But basically, that's the mark. Now, you get somebody back there and Scotty tells them, look, this is the mark. You know, I know to be a sound booth person, certain songs you may have to adjust voices a little bit up or a little bit down, you know, but you will never go full max and you will never go full bottom. Well, say they just like that. That's the way they think it ought to be. All of it just full maxed out here. We got a problem. On the computer back there, I mean, you know, they upload sermons, they do the Facebook and different things like that. Now, Scotty has that a certain way. The guy that built that computer back there that set that up for this and everything, he did it. Well, not too long after that, he left, and we had a problem. Nobody knows how to do it. So Scotty spends, I don't know, days to weeks back there asking the Lord, looking at this, looking at that. Holy Ghost shows him. He finally figures it out and all of that, you know. So now it is, he knows how to do it. He's taught Beth how to do it. I think Beth's taught Zach how to do it, you know, and maybe some others or whatever at different times or whatever. But say somebody goes back there and they want to change something. See, just like this for an example. And I'm not talking about Zach. This is an example. I don't care how brilliant a computer technician, wizard, whatever, Zach is. Zach's leaving. So we don't need to go change everything to Zach's brilliant mind. Why? Because maybe Scotty's mind's not quite that brilliant in that area. And Zach's going to be gone. And we got to have the sound booth. And we got to upload the internet. We got to have the Facebook. You understand what I'm saying? But if, see, so we don't need Zach or best brilliant mind back there. All we need back there is somebody to do what I tell you to do. And when you don't do what I tell you to do, you disqualified yourself. Do you realize the only reason me and Scotty are here is because of what I'm telling you this morning? I don't care what he tells y'all, he's not that bright. I am smarter than him. Just the Holy Ghost helps him. He helps me too. I mean, truly honest. I mean, we did not graduate high school. I mean, I flunked the eighth grade, and that's the last time I went. I don't know. I don't even know if he finished the eighth grade or whatever. But my point to all that is, we're not here because we have brilliant minds. We're not here because we have great gifts or anything like that. I don't have time, but the scripture also, he said there, if you won't be faithful in what's another man's, he'll give you your own. See, we only have been entrusted this ministry now is because we was faithful where we was at in another man's. That was not our ministry. We did not start that. God sent us there. Scotty's down on the pew one day. Pews are, altars are filled up. So he kneels down at the front pew and he's praying and he's saying, God, use me. God, use me. Now, he don't know what he's saying, you know, necessarily. And God speaks to him and he tells him, you must learn how to be under authority first before you can be an authority. He had no clue what that meant. And I am totally convinced today, had we rose up, thought we was smarter. I've seen them here. They thought they was smarter, going to start their own church. I think 2.5 years, 3 years, and I don't know where they are now. They're not no church, and all the people that followed them. Had we thought we was smarter than Brother Brad, or thought we could do a better job, or didn't do things the way we was told up there, or different things like that. I mean, that's just like when I taught the kids, they asked me to teach the kids. I taught them out of a book. This lesson I do this week or whatever, I put my initial on it. The next week, the lady does the next lesson in the book. The next lesson I do, I could have thought, well, you know what? I feel led to do number 1999 back here in this book. That would have not have been good. Why? I was told to follow the order. And because I followed the order, I'm here. Had I not followed the order, I don't believe I would be here. Why? Because, see, just as many people as I can help, I can hurt. I've got to stop because actually our time is up. I guess this will be a series here. What'd I get? One partial
chapter of the verses? Anyways, anybody have anything
I'd like to share or comment before we close?